Well, thank you very much for inviting me to come and say a few words. Jeff said, keep it short. I was preaching this morning the other side of Clitheroe, and that was 45 minutes, so anything under 45 minutes is short, isn't it, Jeff? There we are. It's 47 years since I was baptized. Now, that probably amazes you. You think, gosh, you look so young. But 47 years ago, I got baptized as a follower of the Lord Jesus, and I'm still here. And I believe that the God who has saved me is the God who will be able to keep you as well. And keep what a wonderful occasion that is in your life. And may you hold on to it and say, thank you, Lord. And when Satan comes and tries to knock the feet from under you, just remember this day, the 21st of February, sorry, January, isn't it? 2024, thinking, Lord, no, I publicly made my allegiance to Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to go back on that. Yeah. When Jeff asked me to speak, I thought, Lord, what do I say? What on earth do I say? And my mind went straight away to Psalm 14. So I'm just going to read Psalm 14. I think it's going to be put on the screen. And then I'm just going to speak for a few minutes. Is that okay? Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Of all the workers of iniquity, no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call on the Lord. There they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. An old man and a young man were sat together talking about life. And as the conversation began to unfold, the young man said to the old man, how can I live a long life? I look at you and you're a good age. I'm so young. How can I get to your age and live a long life? The old man thought for a while and then said, three things. I would suggest that you choose friends that you don't like. And then marry a woman that you can't stand. And then take a job that you loathe. And you know, young man, no matter how long you live, it will seem a very long time. Not the kind of wisdom, really, that you want to build your life upon, but there again, there are many people who build their life on nonsense. And you sometimes ask a non-Christian when they speak, you know, you talk to them about your faith and they mock you, and you say, well, tell me what you believe. And they come out with what they believe, and you say, well, where are you getting that from? Well, just believe it. No, where are you getting it from? It's like when you speak to people who say, fingers crossed, and you say, can you just explain, what does that do? When everyone's crossing their fingers, what does that do? And they kind of look at you as if, don't be so stupid. And then you suddenly realize that people are building their life on nonsense. There's no foundation to it whatsoever. And when Jeff asked me to speak this afternoon at this baptismal service, three bits of nonsense came into my head that I keep coming across that people are building their lives on. Here's the first one. God is dead. God is dead. The majority of people in our country, how many people are in our country? 70 million? The majority of people in our country actually believe that God is dead. It's interesting, when you open the Bible begins with two words in Hebrew, Bereshith Elohim, in English, in the beginning, God. And yet most people in our country believe that is a pile of nonsense. And so they live their life on this so-called fact that God is dead. Back in 1966, Time magazine published an entire edition in answer to the question it put on the front page. And the front page just had this very simple question, is God dead? Well, that was back in 1966. Well, we've come a long way from 1966, 57 years. And many folk in our country would say, well, what was asked in 1966, I can tell you now, God is totally dead. And I've come to realize that God is not relevant to most people in our country. It doesn't even enter their minds. They don't even think about him. And you can see it worked out in so many practical ways in our society. Take, for example, the year 1900. 1900 was a significant year in the history of literature in this country. Up until the year 1900, there were more Christian books in this country than non-Christian or secular books. So if you'd got into a bookshop in the year 1900, you had more chance of picking up a Christian book than a non-Christian book. But in the year 1900, that changed. The tables turned. These days, if you go into any bookshop, you'll have a very hard job to even find one Christian book. Why? Because people are not really interested in God. When universities first opened in this country, before you could take what you may call a secular degree, you had to take a degree in theology. No matter what degree you were going to take, you had to take a degree in theology. Why? Because it was believed if you get a right understanding of God, it will help you understand everything else. I mean to say, if you said to someone today, I'm going to study theology, they'd look at you and go, what? I mean, that's like learning Latin. Who speaks Latin these days? And who talks about theology? Who's interested in God? And 100 years ago, if you'd gone into any city in our country, the skylight would have been highlighted by just church towers and spires pointing upwards, saying to people, look up, look up. There's someone bigger than ourselves. But when you go into most cities and towns these days, those things have been totally crowded out. And it's business buildings that dominate the skylight, showing us that we're not interested in God whatsoever. And then when it comes to creation, have you noticed no one ever speaks about creation? Because we don't believe in a creator. What we do speak about is nature. Everyone is talking about nature. And then Mother Nature. Have you ever met Mother Nature? In fact, have you noticed the worship of the environment is the new religion in our country? We do everything within our power to appease Mother Nature. We mustn't upset the environment. And we've got to make sacrifices to keep the environment happy. That's no different from how pagans lived back in the days of the Old Testament. We've got to keep Baal and Ashtaroth and all these gods. We've got to keep them happy, so we'll sacrifice to them. So we sacrifice this and we sacrifice that in the 21st century to keep the environment happy. It's a new religion. God figures nowhere. But it's a lie. It's not God who's dead. It's we who are dead. But the trouble is, it's like when you're asleep. When you're asleep, you don't know you're asleep until you wake up. Do you know that? You don't sort of lie there at 3 o'clock in the morning going, this is a wonderful sleep. Keep going, my boy. It's only when you wake up, you think, oh, I was asleep. Especially when you fall asleep in a chapel. You suddenly wake up and think, that was a great service. And when people come at the door and say, that was wonderful, that was wonderful. I feel so refreshed. I don't know whether they're speaking about the sermon or the sleep. You do not know you are sleeping until you wake up. Likewise, dead people don't know they're dead until they're alive. It's not God who's dead. It's we who are dead. And there are many things in life to which I am totally dead. This may shock you, but I'm dead to ballet dancing. If my wife came home and said, David, I've got a real treat for you. I've got 2 tickets for some ballet. I would know that she hadn't been listening to me for the last 40 years. What kind of marriage have we got? Yeah, I'm dead. I'm also dead to a whole list of other things. That is how the average person in our street is in relation to God. And do you know something? You can put on everything under the sun. And churches do this to attract people. Thinking if we put on this and this and this, people will come along and get excited. No, they're dead. They're dead. And the only thing that changes people is when the Holy Spirit comes into the heart and resurrects them. And that's what baptism is all about. Baptism is a person standing up saying, do you know something? Once I thought God was dead and I was alive, but I've come to realize it's me who was dead and he was alive, but he has resurrected me. And now I'm a new person in Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm so pleased we sung that song. I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God, I stand. Do you know something? When you're alive, you know it. I went into the bank the other day. I had three miracles in a week. Number one, I found an open bank. Okay. Number two, there wasn't a queue. And number three, they wanted to do business with me. So we were doing some financial business, as it were, in the bank. And this lady said, well, I need proof of who you are. And being slightly fly, I said, well, it's me. She said, that's not good enough. I said, well, it's been good enough for me for the last 60 odd years. I said, well, what good is my birth certificate or my driving license going to do? It's me. Is that not good enough? I wanted to say, and by the way, who on earth are you? Because I've been coming to this bank for 40 years and I've never seen you before. So who are you? I don't need my birth certificate or my driving license or my passport to know that I'm alive. I know I'm alive. And when a person has been made alive by the Holy Spirit, they know they are alive. And we're baptizing a young man this afternoon who says, once I was dead, but now I'm alive. And the reason why I'm alive is because the Holy Spirit has come into my heart and awakened me. There was a German philosopher called Nietzsche. He wasn't a very happy man. He was the son of a manse, but he was a pretty godless kind of character. And he did terrible damage through many of his writings. And it was he who first coined the expression, the death of God. And Nietzsche, many, many decades ago, said, God is dead. On the wall of a German university, some wag took hold of that quotation, God is dead, sign Nietzsche. When Nietzsche died, some wag added to it, Nietzsche is dead, sign God. Some wag further added, and I don't feel too well myself. What is a Christian? A Christian is a person who believes that God is alive, and I was once dead. But now I've been made alive by the Holy Spirit. That's the first fatal mistake that non-Christians make. The second fatal mistake is this: we write the rules. We write the rules. You see, if this is God's world, and he's made it, then we must live in his world, his way. If it's our world and we've made it, that's fine. We can live in our world our way. But he's made the world, therefore we live in it his way. And one of the reasons why people want to get rid of God is because they don't want to live in his world his way. And so when you get rid of God, and this is no longer his world, this is our planet that we're saving. This is our world. This is how we speak these days. This is how we talk. Then we write the rules as to what is right and what is wrong. And these days, there is no wrong. Nothing is wrong. The only thing that is wrong is you telling me how to live. That's the only thing that's wrong. So you keep your nose out of my business, and I'll keep my nose out of your business, and we'll get along fine. And so what happens? We find ourselves living in a society where everyone is writing their own rules. And if you go against the general rules that people think are okay for life and you disagree with them, then you are told you need to be re-educated. You've got it wrong. We're right, you're wrong. You need to be re-educated. And I know one or two people who have disagreed with company policies on one or two big issues in our society, and they've been sent on a re-education course. Because you are out of step with the rules that we have written. Listen, God is not dead, he's alive. And because he's alive, we live by his rules, not our rules. And we either like that, or we lump it. And if you don't like it, well, go and make your own universe, and make your own rules, and then do what you want. But while you're in his world, you live in his world, his way. Now, God's rules are pretty hard to keep, aren't they? What is interesting is that when people make their own rules, they don't even live by their own rules. And they catch themselves out. And we've seen that so many times in life. But you know, God's rules, I have to admit, they're pretty tough. One boy, having learned the Ten Commandments, said, thank God there's only ten. They're pretty tough. And you know, I don't know anyone who's kept all of God's rules. So I say, well, I want to live in God's world, God's way, but the trouble is I can't because the standard is far too high for me. I'm finished. I'm absolutely finished. And I think if all of us were absolutely honest, every one of us has probably broken every one of those rules. So how on earth can we go on living in God's world, God's way, when we can't? Well, this is the wonderful thing. That's why God has sent his son. God has said to us, there's no way you can keep those rules because of the state of your heart. But I'm going to send my son who will keep my rules. And then he will take your disobedience as his disobedience and he will die in your place. That's called a bargain. So I give God all my rubbish. Jesus takes it and dies for me on the cross. And in return, he says, I'll give you all my righteousness. I've come to realize that trying to keep God's laws is like trying to create a one-sided piece of paper. Have you tried to do that? If you want to do something in 2024, maybe you thought 2023 has passed you by, you've done nothing imaginative, you're just kind of slobbing your way through life. Okay, here's your challenge for this coming year. Make a one-sided piece of paper. It's impossible. And as that is impossible, it's impossible for you and me to live a perfect life and keep all of God's rules. The easiest thing to do is to say, forget it, I'll write my own. No, well, even if you write your own, we won't keep them. Why not come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I thank God that you kept all the rules and you willingly died to pay the price for me breaking God's rules, and in return, have given me heaven's righteousness. And so Tristan, who was being baptized this afternoon, acknowledged God was dead. No, it was me who was dead. I'm now alive. But one time I write my own rules, suddenly realized, no, I can't write my own rules. It's God's rules. I've broken them, but Jesus has paid the price for every one of those breakages. And the third mistake that most people make in our society is this: God is dead. We write the rules. Number three, I am everything. How does the Bible start? In the beginning, God. Now it's been rewritten. In the beginning, me. It's all about me. And I don't know about you, I've never seen so much ego spewed across life. Everyone's just on about themselves all the time. Some huge egos. You see it on YouTube. You see it on television, you read about it in the paper. I sometimes eavesdrop on people when I'm in shops, and the things you hear, it's amazing. All about me. And anyone who stops me being me is in trouble. How dare you cramp my style? How dare you sort of try and squeeze me into your mold? I'm me, let me be me. And therefore that famous Walt Disney film, Frozen, let it go. There's theology behind all that. Don't just think it's a nice children's film. There's theology behind that. Let it go. Don't let anyone tell you what to do. Be like Elsie and be free. Very subtle. And it gets into the minds of young people and it filters throughout the whole of life. Because people now think they are the most important person in the universe and that their backbone is the axis on which the universe turns, then it means that the only person that they are accountable to is themselves. There was a man who was on the scene just a few months before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was called John the Baptist. When John the Baptist met the Lord Jesus, he said, "He's got to increase, I've got to decrease." And when a person is made alive by the Holy Spirit and realizes that they've got to start writing their own rules, they also suddenly realize that the most important person in life is not themselves, but Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's about Him. And a Christian is a person who is totally preoccupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust as you continue your Christian life and look at some of us, we've been on the road for quite a while, and God has been good to us, but I've come to realize it's not about people. It's not even about Christian songs. It's not about Christian books. It's about Him. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. But our society doesn't want to know about Him. I find it amazing. The greatest person this world has ever known, and folk are not interested. I've been following the Lord Jesus Christ for many, many decades, and have spent every day of my life reading about Him and reading His Word and then preaching about Him. And I can tell you, without any shadow of a lie in my head or in my mouth, I have never got tired of looking at the Lord Jesus. Never. Why? He is the most fascinating person the world has ever known. And what is more, He's my personal Savior. And I've counted myself one of the, I'm not allowed to use the word lucky, but I'll use it because you understand it. I count myself one of the luckiest fellows on the face of the earth that I've been paid for 40 odd years for studying my greatest hero, my Lord and my Savior. He is superb. He's dealt with my sin. He's dealt with my past. He's promised to never leave me or forsake me. And He's told me, "David, when it's the end of the journey, don't worry. I have got a better place for you." Wow. Who wants to go through life thinking that God is dead, I write the rules, and I'm the most important person, when you have a wonderful, wonderful Savior like that? And that, my friends, is the very essence of Christianity. And baptism is one of those public occasions when you can stand up and say, "I'm alive. Thank God that Jesus has kept the rules on my behalf. And from now on, it's not about me. It's all about Him." Let's pray together. Father, we pray for many people, our friends, our neighbors, even our relatives, who live as if You are dead. And they don't realize, Lord, it's them who are dead. They're the ones who are dead. We pray by the Holy Spirit, start to resurrect them. Quicken them. Open their eyes to the fact that You are alive. And Father, as we live in a society where everyone is writing their own rules, hence the reason why we have so much chaos, Lord, I just ask and pray as Tristan grows up and follows the Lord Jesus, give him a double portion of the Holy Spirit to follow in the footsteps of Him who has kept the rules on our behalf. And Father, for all of us, we pray, may we get out of the way and may we get a bigger view of who Jesus Christ really is. May He increase, and to Him and Him alone be all the praise and all the glory. Father, if You can use any of these words, take them and use them for the glory of Your name. through Christ our Lord. Amen.